and welcome back to, or welcome to, Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your host. In this show, I discuss history's most notorious mistresses and lovers. Today's episode will feature or focus on Emperor Hadrian of Rome's lover, Antinous. I won't be going into the definition of a mistress today, as we're discussing a lover. This young man had many attributes given to him while he was in Hadrian's company, but we'll get to that later. Before diving into Antinous' life, I should begin with Hadrian, as I believe knowing knowledge about him is important too. If you'd like a deeper dive into Hadrian's life, I would highly recommend the other podcast, Totalius Rankium, where the two hosts discuss and rank the Roman emperors. Let's get to the basics. Hadrian was born Publius Aelius Hadrianus on the 24th of January 76 AD in Italica near modern Seville in present-day Spain. Please keep in mind that Hispania was a Roman entity, so Hadrian and his immediate family resided there, but his family was of Roman stock and was not native to the Hispania region. As for his parents, Hadrian's father was Publius Aelius Hadrianus Afer, who was a senator and came from the Praetorian rank, so not some low-level common family. His mother was Domitius Paulina, whose family too was from a senatorial background, again, not of common stock. Hadrian had one sibling, Aelia Domitia Paulina, the elder of the sibling. By 86 AD, however, tragedy struck Hadrian's family. Both of his parents died. He and his sister Paulina were then taken in. Hadrian was adopted by their cousin Trajan, who later became emperor. Under Trajan's guidance, Hadrian received a Hellenistic education, as expected for a Roman aristocrat. Hadrian was given the nickname Graeculus due to his love for Greek culture. By about 100 AD, Hadrian married his second cousin, once removed, I should say, Vibia Sabina. She was the grandniece of Hadrian's adoptive father, Trajan. Way to keep it in the family, just like the other imperial families. Unfortunately, this marriage was not a happy one, as Hadrian preferred the company of men over that of his wife and other women. Because we are focusing on Antinous in this episode, we can definitely state that Hadrian's lack of sexual desire for his wife, there was no issue from him and Vibia Sabina. I should clarify, no natural children came from this union. Because of their marriage, Hadrian's access to the ruling family and being adopted by Trajan himself set Hadrian up as a potential heir to the Roman imperial throne. During their marriage, Hadrian was involved in Roman politics and pursued his personal interests. Hadrian's interests included architecture, the arts, and of course, men. On August 11th, 117, Hadrian presented the Roman Senate letters pertaining to his ascension to being the heir for the imperial throne. Basically, again, he was Trajan's heir. As I stated just a couple of moments ago, Hadrian loved Greek culture. He did a tour of his domains around the early 120s. Hadrian made his way to Greece. His visit included visiting many sites, including the Temple of Zeus. By 123 AD, Hadrian may have made his initial site of Antinous. Hadrian was in Bithynia, modern-day Turkey. In 123 AD, Antinous is aged around 13, according to the World History Encyclopedia. Antinous was born around 110 AD. It's possible that during Hadrian's tour, he may have seen Antinous doing a pageant or some type of religious or participating in a public ceremony. According to scholar Anthony Everett, the meeting of Antinous was not by happenstance, or sheer happenstance, I should say. Due to timing, it can be presumed that Hadrian and Antinous may have met in Nicomedia during Hadrian's tour of Greece. After finding Antinous, Hadrian made Antinous part of his personal retinue. In addition to adding him to his inner circle, Hadrian had Antinous attend the Imperial Pedagogium. The Pedagogium instructed young Romans in bookkeeping, entertainment, hairdressing, and these skills allowed the graduates aged around 18 to become servants or companions to those in the senatorial or other upper social classes. Similar to ancient Greece, ancient Rome, in this particular case, also followed the tradition of pederasty. Just a reminder, pederasty is a relationship between an older man and a younger, possibly prepubescent man. This also includes the sexual dynamic as part of the relationship. As stated before, I have mentioned that Hadrian was a great fan of Hellenistic Greece. Therefore, Hadrian's relationship with Antinous was not seen with cultural disfavor. Furthermore, according to Everett, Romans were quite capable of telling straights from gays even without our words for them, and many slept impartially with members of both sexes. Hadrian saw Antinous as his beloved partner, particularly in the Greek definition. Antinous was educated, socially accepted, and sexually accepted as Hadrian's partner. Hadrian continued to travel through his empire. Antinous was included on their travels. By 125 AD, Antinous was living with Hadrian in Tibur, or modern-day Tivoli, in his villa. Similarly to other Roman emperors, Hadrian's villa was a retreat that had gardens, pools, waterfalls, and multiple fountains. The villa also had multiple rooms, mosaic tile flooring, frescoes decorated on the walls, banquet halls. The Romans knew their banquet halls, gods forfend that they not have them, and heated bathing suites. Of course, with the villa of this caliber, there were multiple servants to maintain the property. By 127 AD, Hadrian and Antinous were in Italy, and Antinous had fallen ill. The illness is unknown. By the fall of 128, Hadrian and Antinous were back in Greece to participate in the Eleusinian Mysteries, Cult of Demeter / Ceres and Persephone / Proserpina, which both were initiated. After visiting Greece, Hadrian and Antinous traveled to Judea and Syria, then down to Egypt. Like his lifelong interest in Greek culture, Hadrian too indulged his interest in Egyptian rites and their magical processes. During their visit, Hadrian and Antinous visited the graves of Pompey the Great, military rival Caesar, and, of course, the sarcophagus of Alexander the Great. After visiting these burial sites, Antinous and Hadrian went to the Canopic Canal area, which was known as the ancient Greek version of Ibiza, or Ibiza, if you're British, or Spanish. Additionally, another favorite pastime of Hadrian's was hunting. During their efforts, Hadrian slew a lion, which targeted Antinous. Thankfully, the lion was killed before he could attack Hadrian's favorite. Once done, the two lovebirds moved to their party to take a trip on the Nile. Before traipsing on the Nile, Hadrian and his party stopped in Heliopolis to meet with a priest, Pocrates, to buy some type of medicinal tonic or potion. Whether it was for himself or someone else is unknown. Continuing on, Hadrian's party moved from the Heliopolis to Hermopolis to visit the sanctuary of Thoth, the Egyptian god of wisdom, magic, and writing, also associated with the moon. The party was preparing for a festival for Osiris. All good things must come to an end. On the 22nd of October, 130 AD, Antinous, Hadrian, and their party participated in the Festival of the Nile. Unfortunately, it is assumed by historians and scholars that Antinous drowned. His body was found floating in the Nile. There are some theories as to how and why Antinous drowned in the Nile. According to Everett, Antinous either drowned by falling into the Nile, as Hadrian wrote, or, as the truth may be, by being offered in sacrifice. Everett continues to explain that Hadrian had curiousness of divinations and incantations or magical elements, particularly of the Egyptian kind. According to 4th century Roman historian and politician Aurelius Victor, he wrote, "When Hadrian wanted to prolong his life and magicians had demanded a volunteer in his place, they report that although everyone else refused, Antinous offered himself." Everett also speculates that Antinous decided to offer himself as tribute to being a youth no longer. He was aged around 20 years old at the time of his death. And he thought he would no longer be a favorite of Hadrian. However, ancient sources did not note the fact that Antinous committed suicide. Yet, Roman writers did note how much Hadrian mourned Antinous' death, particularly his excessive grief and constant and deep affections and emotions for Antinous. We know that Hadrian was absolutely gutted after losing Antinous. Writers noted that Hadrian wept like a woman. Well, that's nice. Hadrian had Antinous deified while still in Egypt. Antinous was identified with Osiris due to how he died, drowning. As they were still in Egypt, Hadrian had Antinous buried via Egyptian traditions, including mummification and embalming. Hadrian did not return to Italy until around 131 AD, probably due to the timing of Antinous' burial process. After his death and burial processing, Hadrian created the city of Antinopolis, now Minya or Sheikh Abada, a small village, Turkey. Please remember that only the Imperial Roman family could make others, particularly other family members, divine, though they needed to be approved by the Senate. Hadrian, who had a long contentious history with the Roman Senate, bypassed this process and had Antinous be given divine status. Hadrian declared Antinous a god and created a formal cult to be associated with him. On top of these actions, Hadrian also identified a particular star between the eagle and the zodiac to be attributed to Antinous. One more thing that's associated with Antinous is a rosy lotus that was known to grow on the banks of the Nile. As for Antinous' finalized burial location, it is assumed that he is enshrined at Hadrian's villa in Tiber, or Tivoli, Italy. How was Antinous seen after his death in divine nature? Well, sometimes Antinous was seen as a divine hero, just a god, or both a divine hero and a god, or of godly status. This is dependent on the areas, cultural, and regional differences. Some of Antinous' attributes in his godly form are that he was a kind or benevolent god and a conqueror of death. He was also attributed and worshipped with medicinal cures. To keep the memory of Antinous alive, Hadrian also hosted quintennial. Oh look, a new word I learned. Quintennial games to be held in his honor. They were called the Antinoea. Also, quintennial means every 5 years. Why does this remind me of the Hunger Games? But anyway, these games were held for centuries in Egypt. The games included athletic events, chariot racing, equestrian competitions, and included artistic and musical festivals. So, like other episodes we heard, we need to determine if Antinous was a lover or just a favorite of Hadrian. Based on their stories, I would consider Antinous a lover. He was favored by Hadrian, and after his death, he was deeply grieved by Hadrian. If he hadn't drowned in the Nile, I'm sure Hadrian would have gone on many more adventures with Antinous. It's a shame that Antinous died, either by accident or by sacrifice. He died so young. While he isn't as well known as other mistresses or lovers, Casanova being a famous 18th century Lothario, he is known in the LGBTQIA+ community as the gay god, and his attributes, again, were protection, healing properties, and personal salvation. Other, again, attributes associated with Antinous are emotionally healing, spiritual, and physical as well. Furthermore, self-affirmation, love, and self-empowerment. The relationship between Antinous and Hadrian is probably the most wholesome and healthiest in terms of the relationship and when their relationship took place, and the healthiest of the Roman imperial relationship. I'm glad I learned about Antinous and Hadrian's relationship. Thank you to the listeners, particularly from the Rex Factor Discord group. I've expanded a little bit. I mean, we talked about Hephaestion and Alexander the Great, how they were two souls entwined. But this is different because this was a love relationship versus just a tight brethren, potentially with love. Because again, I came up with the conclusion that Hephaestion was an unknown. We're not sure whether or not he had a physical loving relationship and not just an emotional relationship with Alexander the Great. But anyway, thank you for listening to today's episode. And I sincerely apologize about the tardiness of the release of this episode. I also want to say happy holidays. This will be coming out on Christmas Day. So if you celebrate Christmas, happy or Merry Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, happy Festivus, happy Saturnalia. And going into the new year, happy new year to all. Thank you very much. Also, you can reach me at the show via email, sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. And of course, try not to get into any shenanigans yourself, or I just may end up telling your story. Again, happy holidays. Thank you very much, and bye.